welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, BizBuzz. New coffee shop opens in Dubuque. Local pet groomer relocates. Hair studio makes Dubuque debut. Story by Grace Nyland. Grace.Nyland at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from across the tri-states. This edition highlights developments in Dubuque. True to its name, Coffee Lab is all about experimentation and trying something new. The coffee shop recently opened inside Dubuque's historic Bronson Mansion at 2728 Asbury Road. The menu ranges from classic black coffee to honey cinnamon cold brew and whipped lotus drinks flavored with lavender and passion fruit. The focus is on offering unique or customizable items so every customer can walk away happy, said co-owner Nikki Waugh. I just want people to be able to create exactly what they want to drink, whether that's your standard black coffee or a drink with all the works, Waugh said. My favorite part of working here is watching people take that first drink and smile because it's just what they wanted. Coffee Lab opened in April in the space previously filled by Wayfarer Coffee, which still has a location in the historic Millwork District. The Asbury Road space became available earlier this year, and Coffee Lab co-owner Jordan Degree decided to take the plunge after discussing it with Wayfarer owner Darren Sharman. Degree approached Waugh about the project, and she too jumped at the chance to contribute to the venture. Ultimately, this seemed like an opportunity to create a really nice spot in the community for people to connect, Degree said. We're a coffee shop that's more than just about coffee. We want people to really connect here. The shop started with a similar menu to Wayfarer and has been expanding from there. Staff members learn what customers like or are looking for, Degree said. In addition to the drinks, the shop also offers a variety of baked goods and breakfast items. All the shop's items can be ordered to go or can be enjoyed in the shop's lounge and eating area, Waugh added. The shop is located at Fulton Park, which houses several other businesses such as salons, yoga studios, and more. That commercial diversity has helped draw in a solid base of regulars, which Waugh and Degree hope to expand upon to draw in the larger Dubuque community. At the heart of it, a coffee shop is about creating a moment in people's lives, Degree said. And that's what we want here, just a place to take a deep breath and connect with others in that shared experience. Additional information about Coffee Lab is available online at CoffeeLabDBQ.com or on the Coffee Lab Facebook page. The shop recently expanded its hours and is now open daily from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Local dog groomer relocates Dubuque studio. A Dubuque pet groomer has relocated her studio to meet growing demand for grooming services. Club Posh Grooming recently opened its new location at 4995 Radford Court after owner Natalie Hazelwinkle successfully petitioned the Dubuque City Council to rezone the property to allow for on-site pet grooming. The space is slightly larger than the previous location on Romberg Avenue, Hazelwinkle said, and has allowed for the addition of a third groomer. It's not actually that much bigger than the old location, but it feels a lot bigger, she said. We just have a lot more open space to move around and get things done. Hazelwinkle owns Club Posh and rents space to two other groomers, Tony Sharman and Jenna Cooper. It's similar to a hair salon where independent stylists rent a chair to serve clients, she said. The move has increased efficiency and capacity for all three groomers, Hazelwinkle said, and the new layout allows for a dedicated reception area as well as a better separation between kennels and grooming areas. It can get sort of difficult to move dogs around in a small space, especially when you don't know if a certain dog is reactive or doesn't like other dogs, she said. Now we can move the dogs around without having to worry about that as much. Club Posh is open by appointment from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Additional information is available online at facebook.com/clubposhgrooming and Hazelwinkle can be reached by phone by calling her at 563-599-2989. Dubuque Hair Studio makes colorful debut. When talking with Dubuque stylist Christopher Bellings, it's hard to say whether he has his job down to an art, a science, or something in between. Bellings recently opened the Color Parlor at 3338 Center Grove Drive. The Dubuque Hair Studio specializes in vivid color services. He stocks dozens of dyes ranging from more customary blondes and browns to eye-catching oranges and verdant greens. You have the whole rainbow of light to play with, Billings said. Then there's light and shadows that will enhance or take away from a given color. It's a lot like chemistry with how you're adding things or taking them away. Billings has worked in the Dubuque cosmetology scene for over a decade. Previously, he rented chair space at other local salon studios, but the move to Center Grove marks his first foray into a solo space. Vivid color, sometimes called fantasy color, is his forte, but Billings also offers a wide range of other hair-related services. He mixes each color by hand, he said, so every client walks away with a unique. I never just use a color straight out of the box, Billings said. I always mix at least one or two colors together to give people a completely customized look. When they leave here, they walk away with a color no one else has. With the new studio, Billings said he hopes to create a welcoming, quote, no-judgment atmosphere where clients feel comfortable to ask any questions they might have about their hair or the styling and color process. Billings said he tries to curate a similar vibe on his social media accounts. Already, he has netted nearly 30,000 followers on TikTok and thousands more across Facebook and Instagram with videos about the cosmetology field and his life more broadly. The Color Parlor offers a new background for that content, he said, as well as some additional inspiration. It's been pretty busy within the last year, so I haven't been using my social platforms as much, Billings said, but I really feel like my passion's reignited here, and I think it's going to be awesome to continue to grow that presence and connect with more people. The Color Parlor is open by appointment from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Friday. Online booking is available at thecolorparlordbq.com, and additional information can be found on the Color Parlor's Facebook and Instagram pages. Business tip sought. Do you have an interesting story idea or a news tip to share about a local business? Ideas can be shared with business reporter Grace Nyland at grace.nyland@thmedia.com or by calling her at 563-588-5647. Funk rock band do perform in Jackson County, Dateline Maquoketa, Iowa. A funk rock band will perform at a rural Maquoketa concert venue in October. Here Come the Mummies will appear as part of a two-night extravaganza, October 11th and 12th at Codfish Hollow Barnstormers, 501328 8th Avenue in rural Maquoketa, according to an online announcement. The band will be joined by the alt-rock group The Toxhards. Here Come the Mummies formed in 2000 and consists of anonymous band members. Toxhards is a Los Angeles-based group known for rousing live performances and a unique blend of rock genres, according to the group's website. Tickets go on sale to the public at 10 a.m. Friday, May 17th. More information is available at online at codfishhollowbarnstormers.com. $500,000 bond set for ex Dubuque priest charged with sexual abuse. Story by Maya Bond, maya.bond@thmedia.com. A $500,000 bond has been set for a former Dubuque priest accused of sexually abusing multiple boys in the 1980s. The Reverend Leo P. Riley, 68, of Port Charlotte, Florida, is charged in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County with five counts of second-degree sexual abuse. He made his initial court appearance after being arrested in Florida last month. In addition to setting the cash-only bond, Iowa District Associate Judge Robert Richter determined Riley will not be allowed to leave Iowa while court proceedings continue. Richter ordered Riley to wear an ankle monitor and be subject to pre-trial supervision by the Iowa Department of Corrections. Richter also imposed a no-contact order for each of the alleged victims and witnesses and barred Riley from having any contact with minors. Court documents state that four people have said they were sexually abused by Riley from 1985 to 1986 while he was associate pastor of Church of the Resurrection in Dubuque. Dubuque police were contacted by the Archdiocese of Dubuque's Office for Protection of Children in May 2023 about reports the Archdiocese had received of alleged sexual abuse in Dubuque from the 1980s. Four victims were identified in the subsequent investigation, all of them altar boys at Resurrection Parish and under age 12 at the time of the alleged abuse. Each reported being abused by Riley, and two told investigators Riley also forced them to engage in sexual activity with other boys on the parish grounds, documents state. Court documents state that in an April interview with the Florida law enforcement, Riley denied all allegations against him. After an initial appearance in Iowa, Riley's attorney, Guy Cook, said in an interview with multiple media outlets that he will file a motion to challenge the bond. Quote, appreciate that these charges, no matter how salacious, are proof of nothing, he said. Father Leo Riley is to those people who know him well, a person of upstanding moral character, an honest man, and a person who would not commit these kinds of acts. Cook said Riley passed two polygraph examinations regarding alleged misconduct at Resurrection, one recently and one a few years ago. Dubuque County Attorney Scott J. Nelson declined to comment. Riley was ordained a priest of the Dubuque Archdiocese in 1982 and served in the city of Dubuque from 1983 to 1986 before moving on to other parishes within the diocese. Riley requested a move to the Diocese of Venice, Florida in 2002, became a priest of that diocese in 2005. Officials in both Dubuque and Florida previously stated there were no known accusations against Riley at that time. In Iowa, there is no statute of limitations for criminal charges related to sexual abuse of minors. Court documents state each of the men reported having repressed the memories of the abuse until later in life. Documents state one victim told his mother at the time that Riley was abusing boys at Resurrection School, although he did not then tell her that he was a victim. Investigators last year interviewed the woman who recalled volunteering at the parish in the mid-80s. While she was cleaning the church with young boys from the schools, the boys pushed another boy into the closet, and the boy looked very scared, documents state. When she asked the boys what was going on, they made comments similar to, gotta watch out and be careful not to be alone with the priest in there, and the priest will push you into the closet and do things to you. The woman said she reached out to the Resurrection School principal to report the boy's comments, and that weeks later she was informed Riley was transferred to another parish, documents state. Per Riley's assignment list, he was transferred in 1986 from Church of the Resurrection to a parish in Floyd County, Iowa. Riley's preliminary hearing is scheduled for May 22nd at the Dubuque County Courthouse. Officials with the Archdiocese of Dubuque did not respond to requests for comment immediately. Maya Bond is a reporter for Report for America Corps member. City of Dubuque to open housing voucher waiting list. The City of Dubuque's Housing and Community Development Department will open the waiting list for Federal Rental Assistance Program on Tuesday, May 14th. The waiting list will open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday, a press release state. This is called the Housing Choice Voucher Program. Applications will be only accepted in person at the Multicultural Family Center, 1157 Central Avenue. Applications sent online by mail or in the after-hours Dropbox, the Housing Department will not be accepted, the release states. Those seeking to apply for the waiting list will need to submit names as they appear on Social Security cards, Social Security numbers, and dates of birth for members of the household, the release states. Only one application is permitted per household. People with disabilities who need an accommodation can call the Housing and Community Development Office at 563-589-4230 on May 14th to receive an application by mail. Proof of disability will be required. Possible new EPA rules weighed by area farmers. Official story by Benjamin Fisher, benjamin.fisher@thmedia.com. A looming decision by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency could mean new requirements on agricultural producers in northeast Iowa due to concerns over surface water impacts on underground drinking water, leaving farmers and officials unsure of future plans. A group of environmental advocacy organizations focused on surface water quality in northeast Iowa filed a petition with the EPA nearly identical to one which triggered land use requirements in southeastern Minnesota. The source of the Minnesota issue was the direct route that the Driftless region's karst geology provides from area creeks, streams, and rivers to underground reservoirs area residents tap for drinking water. This connection between surface and groundwater has led to surface water protection and incentives for agricultural producers. Since local geology is part of the same karst system as southeastern Minnesota's, Iowa environmental advocates submitted a similar petition in the hopes of action from the EPA, which could lead to new requirements for local farmers. Local farmers in the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship told the Telegraph Herald they do not foresee problems because they believe in-place regulations are sufficient to meet any newly imposed EPA rules. However, officials have been concerned that about both surface water and drinking water contamination in recent years, mitigation of which could be hastened by EPA rules. Dubuque County Farm Bureau President Wayne Kramer thinks Iowa's current manure management programs are comparable to what the EPA required of Minnesota. After a certain date or after the ground's frozen, we are not supposed to put liquid nitrogen on fields, he said. Most of us already have a manure management plan. You have to have so many acres of land for each animal, and you have to have somebody figure it out for you to make sure you have enough acres to cover how many hogs or cows you have. Like if you have 1,000 head and only 160 acres, you're going to have way too much manure. But the Iowa environmental group's petition is based largely on ag's impact to both surface water ecosystems and drinking water quality, especially in rural communities. Quote, the population of the 12 counties comprising the region, Allemachie, Buchanan, Chickasaw, Clayton, Clinton, Delaware, Dubuque, Fayette, Howard, Jackson, Jones, Winneshiek counties, is 316,000 people. About 250,000 people in this area rely on community water systems, while the remaining 63,000 use wells, the petition read. Nitrate contamination is more likely to impact rural populations who are dependent on community water systems and private wells, and who are also more likely to be of lower income. The petition is based on data that have been compiled by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources and analyzed with support from petitioners, Environmental Working Group, and the Isaac Walton Lake, the petition reads. The data demonstrate that nitrate concentrations in public water systems and underground sources of drinking water routinely exceed federal and state drinking water standards, putting the health of area residents at serious risk. The Isaac Walton League of Iowa did not respond to TH requests for comment on Friday. Bailey Avenares is a Dubuque County Health Department environmental specialist who tests drinking water wells around the county, particularly via Iowa's Grants for Counties program. She said in an emailed response to the TH that a significant number of local wells had been found to be contaminated with nitrates, mostly associated with agricultural runoff. We are averaging anywhere from 25 to 50 private well tests weekly, she said of the department's efforts. 12% out of 483 private well tests came back high with nitrates, meaning they exceeded the 10 milligrams per liter, and this exceeds the infant health advisory. Avenares said 15% out of the 483 private well tests in the county came back positive for total coliform bacteria, which is generally associated with livestock manure. Less than 1% of the 483 private well tests came back with positive with E. coli. Avenares explained that no matter new EPA rules, private drinking wells are not regulated by the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act, which is enforced by a federal agency. But she recommended that landowners contact the Dubuque County Health Department about its well testing program. Homeowners who are served by a private well should get their well tested every year, she said. The grant is a great way to help homeowners ensure they are delivering safe drinking water by offering free private well testing for total coliform bacteria, E. coli, nitrates, and arsenic, and manganese every 3 years. The grant also offers up to a certain amount in reimbursements for well abandonment, well reconstruction, well assessments to ensure everything is working properly, and shock chlorination, which helps with mitigating total coliform bacteria and E. coli. Iowa DALS spokesman Don McDowell said that because Minnesota's rules do not apply to Iowa, there is currently no need for area farmers to worry about requirements. Quote, Iowa has set records for conservation and water quality adoption in each of the last 2 years, and we're on pace to do it again this year. The Iowa nutrient reduction strategy is working, but we know there is more work to do in the years and decades ahead. Our state is committed to accelerating the adoption of water quality practices across all landscapes, and we encourage every Iowan to do their part to protect our rich natural resources, including our soil and water. Love that lasts. Surprise first date leads to 64 years of marriage for a Dubuque couple. Story by Michelle Lennon, michelle.lennon@thmedia.com. When Dwayne Bear called Judy Williams and asked her out on a date, Judy thought it was a joke. I was dating a friend of his, said now Judy Bear, 80. It wasn't going well. Dwayne, who might have sensed the demise of the relationship, asked his friend if he could ask Judy out on a date. The friend granted Dwayne permission. Dwayne and Judy, who both grew up in Dubuque, had known each other for a while. They'd met at Skate Station Roller Rink near Lena, Illinois, where they often went with separate groups of friends. So when Dwayne called Judy and asked her out, Judy was sure her almost ex-boyfriend and Dwayne were playing a joke on her. I went to a movie in the Safari Club for dinner, Judy said. I never expected him to ask me out again because I thought it was a joke, but I thought, why not? Free meal? But it sure backfired in the very, very best way. Judy doesn't remember exactly how she responded when Duane called for a second date. Of course I said yes, she said. I don't really remember how I felt. I'm sure I was a little surprised that he called again. Duane was attracted to Judy's outgoing personality. Just her charm and her good looks, he said. Judy loved that Duane was so easygoing. His personality, his looks, everything, she said. I mean, he's one of the easiest guys in the world to get along with. Duane and Judy were casually talking about marriage one day when he asked, well, should we get married? Judy's reply, you haven't asked yet, spurred Duane into action. He proposed at Eagle Point Park, where the Bears family also hosted their 50th anniversary party nearly 14 years ago. We told them we didn't want a big thing, Judy said, but we got it anyway. And yes, it was very nice. Duane and Judy got married at the former First Baptist Church on Locust Street on May 21, 1960. They will celebrate 64 years of marriage next week. They have three children, Debbie Blanchard, Kevin, and Penny Zinkula. They also have 8 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. Duane was working for Interstate Electric when he and Judy got married and worked a few other jobs before landing at John Deere Dubuque's works. He retired in 1994 after 33 years as an engine inspector. After a year of retirement, during which he gladly admits he did absolutely nothing, he took a part-time position at ARC, Area Residential Care, and worked there for 13 years delivering packages, supplies, and mail between facilities. With Duane often working third shift at John Deere, Judy stayed home with the children. When they got older, she worked in administrative support for Dubuque Community Schools. Her last position was as an activities assistant at Noble Manor Care Center in Dubuque. She retired from that job in 2007. I love that job so much, she said. We'd play cards with the residents, watch movies, bake cookies. We'd have a band come once or twice a month, and we'd dance. They basically paid me to play. After buying their first home in East Dubuque, Illinois, the Bears came back across the river and bought a house on Dubuque's West End. In 1986, once the kids had left home, they moved just a few blocks to their current house. Daughter Penny of Waukee, Iowa, remembers a very busy family life. We were always active, she said. My biggest memories were camping. They would take us roller skating. They did Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts with us. They also helped us when we were in the Colts Drum Corps. They were always there. The Bears' camping adventure started with the tents, but they ended up with a motor home as they kept upgrading the family's camping experience. After the kids left home, Duane and Judy bought a fifth-wheel camper and spent their summers living in it. You can tell, especially now that they're both retired and they're together all the time, that they really enjoy being with each other, Penny said. Duane bowls 2 days a week during the winter. His health has prevented him from gardening as much as he used to, but a granddaughter sparked his interest in container gardening, which he now tends his tomato plants on the back deck. When the weather's nice, he and Judy enjoy taking day trips close to home. Go to Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin for soup, Duane said. There's a good Chinese restaurant and Judy loves her soup. Duane and Judy's faith is paramount in their marriage. They're active members of Great Adventure Church in Dubuque, and they even went to Emmaus College at the same time to teach Bible certificate course. They graduated together in 1997 and took part in the college's graduation ceremonies. I thought graduation would be this solemn, very quiet thing, Judy said, but when they announced Duane's name, our family shouted, "Way to go, Grandpa!" I thought, "Oh, no!" And when I walked across the stage, he yelled, "Way to go, Grandma!" Yeah, it was our kids that put the grandkids up to it. Duane and Judy enjoy spending time with children and grandchildren when they can. Health challenges in recent years have prevented them from doing as much as they'd like, but they said their family makes sure to visit often. Cedar Rapids, Iowa also has provided a midway meeting point for the family to meet for lunch or other activities. The one thing I learned from my parents most is that faith and family are the most important things in life, Penny said. They never said that outright, but they demonstrated it, and that's what people see when they look at them. I've been married for 41 years, and I still look to them as a great example of that. Judy said there's one constant in our lives that's sustained them. God, she said. I look at our lives, and I'm just amazed. I don't think we'd be together otherwise. Duane, perhaps remembering that first date about 65 years ago, has just told one thing to add. It was a good joke, I guess, he said. Do you know a long married couple? Love That Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who have been married for at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in the series, contact reporter Michelle Lennon at 563-588-5000. 5655 or michelle.lennon@teachmedia.com. To be sure to include couples' names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. Cuba City to hold public workshop on future of former nursing home site. Cuba City, Wisconsin. Cuba City officials will hold a public workshop next week to hear residents' feedback on the future of a decommissioned nursing home site. The workshop will be from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 22 at Cuba City Fire Department Community Meeting Room, 1013 South Main Street, according to an online event announcement. Area residents can drop by at any time during the three-hour workshop, which will be conducted in an open house format. Attendees will be able to review and comment on two concept plans for the 7-acre Epione Pavilion site. The nursing home closed in early 2023. The city now owns the building and is working in conjunction with Short Elliott Erickson to create a development plan on how to best use the site. Those with questions can contact Cuba City Director of Public Works, George Morrissey, at 608-744-2152 or by emailing him at gmorrissey@cubacitylightandwater.org or Short Elliott Erickson Urban Planner, Lori Miller. You can call her at 414-949-8969 or by emailing her at lmiller@sehinc.com. Platteville City Hall closed Thursday. Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. Platteville City Hall will be closed Thursday, May 16th for the annual staff citywide spruce update. Employees will support Parks Department staff during the day-long event to get the city ready for the Memorial Day weekend and the summer season, an online announcement states. The event includes cleaning, planting, painting, and maintenance activities on select public grounds and facilities. While offices are closed, water utility payments can be placed in the drop box located outside of City Hall, the announcement states. Jackson County Economic Officials Seek Feedback in Child Care Survey. Dateline, Maquoketa, Iowa. Jackson County Economic Alliance seeks community feedback on child care in the area. The organization has multiple surveys designed to be completed by employers, child care providers, and parents, according to online press release. The survey seeks to examine child care needs so potential solutions can be identified. All employers with operations based in Jackson County or that employ Jackson County residents can complete the survey at surveymonkey.com/r/JacksonCoEmployers. That's in the paragraph. Child care centers, preschools, and home-based providers operating in Jackson County complete the survey also on the Survey Monkey website at our Jackson County providers. Any person currently using child care in Jackson County or would like to use care in Jackson County, regardless of where they live, can also can complete a parent survey at the Survey Monkey website. If you have questions, you can contact JCEA Director Kelly Brown at Kelly Brown, K-E-L-L-E-Y Brown at thejcea.org. Tours of Piasta Police Department set for this week in Dateline Piasta, Iowa. The Piasta Police Department and Piasta Optimist Club will host a tour of the police station this week for local youths. The event will take place from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Saturday, May 18th at the Police Department, 463 Piasta Street. The event is free and open to kids aged 18 and younger, according to an announcement. Attendance is limited to 25 youth. To register, you can go online to sign up for a police station tour. Galena Library to host planter painting event, Dateline Galena, Illinois. Galena Public Library will team up with Northwest Illinois Gender and Sexuality Alliance and Riverview Center to host an event at which participants can paint a planter for a succulent. The free Planting Pride program will take place from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Thursday, May 16th at the library, 601 South Bench Street, according to an event online event announcement. During the event, attendees will decorate a terracotta platter using paint markers and acrylic paints and then plant a succulent to take home. All supplies will be provided and the event is open to all ages. You can sign up ahead of time, and that's requested, and you can do that online at nwilgs@plantingpride.eventbrite.com. You are listening to a reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, May 14th, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Sarah C. Coyle, Dateline Cascade, Iowa. Sarah C. Sally Coyle, 84 of Cascade, passed away Friday, May 10th, 2024, at Acura Healthcare in Cascade, Iowa, surrounded by her family. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, May 14th, at the Rife Funeral Home in Cascade, where a prayer service will be held at 4:30 p.m. Visitation will continue after 9 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Services will be at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 15th, at St. Martin's Catholic Church in Cascade, with Reverend Mark Osterholz presiding. Burial will be in the Calvary Cemetery in Cascade. She was born July 25, 1939, in Farley, the daughter of Leroy and Anna Marie Stephen Smith. She received her education in the Farley area schools. On November 22, 1955, she was united in marriage to Melvin Coyle at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Farley. He preceded her in death in 1987. She was employed at Ensign Coyle and later at Modern Fold. She was a member of St. Matthias Parish in Cascade. Survivors include two daughters, Betty Paul Pierce of Guttenberg, Connie Mike Starks of Monticello, three sons, James Coyle and Robert Coyle, both of Cascade, Timothy Coyle of Monticello, and many other relatives. She was preceded in death by her parents, six siblings, and other relatives. An online video may be viewed, and online condolences may be sent to the family at WWW Rife Funeral Home. The family of Sally would like to thank Above and Beyond Hospice, the staff of Acura Health Care in Cascade, and especially her granddaughter, Angie, for all the care given to Mom. Delbert L. Klein. Onalaska, Wisconsin. Delbert L. Del Klein, 87 of Onalaska, died Saturday, May 11th at home. A mass of Christian burial will be held Friday, May 17th at 11 a.m. at Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church. Friends may call at the church on Friday from 9:30 a.m. until the time of services. A complete obituary and online guestbook is available at www.schumachertkish.com. Tina M. LaRue. Tina M. LaRue, 62 of Dubuque, died Thursday, May 9th. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, May 17th at Leonard Funeral Home Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, where services will follow. Rick Kragenbring. Rick Kragenbring, 63 of Dubuque and formerly of East Dubuque, Illinois, died Sunday, May 12th. Visitation will be from 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, May 19th at Miller Funeral Home in East Dubuque. Marilyn J. Sigurd. On Saturday, May 11th, 2024, Mom made the decision to reunite with Dad, Eugene Sigurd, and be by his side once again. Marilyn J. Jane Sigurd began her 93-year journey in life on August 29, 1930, the daughter of George and Dorothy Wagner Froese. She attended Visitation Academy and continued at Clark College, now Clark University in Dubuque. On May 9, 1953, Mom is united in marriage to Jean Sigurd at the Church of Nativity. They continued life together for 63 wonderful years until Jean's passing on January 17, 2017. Mom grew up as an only child longing for a big family. She made up for it by raising six children, five born within 6 years and one extra bonus 5 years later. While Dad continued working countless hours establishing his funeral home, she somehow managed to raise her, quote, perfect kids. Mom was magical. She could make a vacation in an old cottage at French's Lake seem like a trip to Disneyland. Enhance an April Fool's Day joke by baking cotton balls into the dinner rolls, but most importantly, she made all the small hurts in a little kid's life disappear. She was the best grandma, from her spritz cookies hiding the pickle ornament in the Christmas tree to the annual search for the chocolate Easter bunny. She made each holiday memorable. Her traditions will carry on for generations to come. She was an active member of Resurrection Parish, volunteer at Mercy Hospital Service Club, and a member of the Thunder Hills Country Club, where she enjoyed golf and bridge. To her family, she was known as Jackpot Jane, and rightly so, winning so many games of poker with skill or shenanigans. Her opponents couldn't prove either way, and to this day, she has mostly held the winning hand. Those left to cherish her memory include her children and other relatives. She was also preceded in death by her grandson, Joshua Sigurd, and other relatives. In keeping with Mom's joyful spirit, a farewell toast visitation will be held from 3 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, May 15th at the Eagle House Seagirt and Casper Funeral Home. Massive Christian burial will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Thursday at the Church of the Resurrection with the Very Reverend Brian Dellart officiating. Burial will be in Mount Olivet Cemetery. Special thanks to Dr. Andrew Reyes and the compassionate nurses and dedicated staff at Mercy One Medical Center, Bethany Home, and Hospice of Dubuque. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.eaglehoffsegertcasper.com. We love you, Mom. I love you more. Joanne M. Kaiser. Joanne M. Kaiser, 84, of Dubuque, formerly of Dickeyville, Wisconsin, passed away at Eagle Point Place, Dubuque, Iowa, on Friday, May 10th. Mass Christian burial will be at 11 a.m. Friday, May 17th at Holy Ghost Catholic Church in Dickeyville with the Reverend Bernard Rott officiating. Burial will be take place after the service in the church cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 16th at Holy Ghost Church in Dickeyville. There will be a parish wake service at 3:45 p.m. before the visitation. A second visitation will be Friday from 10:45 a.m. at the church prior to the service. KZ Minnet Funeral Home of Cuba City is serving the family. She was born August 15, 1939, in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, to Harold and Veronica Crowley Duffy. She was knighted in marriage to her first husband, David Patera, June 27, 1959, at St. John's Nepomuc in Prairie du Chien. He preceded her death in 1993. She was then united in marriage to Robert Kaiser in 1997 at Holy Ghost Catholic Church in Dickeyville. He preceded her in death in 2018. She graduated from St. Mary's Catholic School in Prairie du Chien before getting married to David, shortly after they raised their family of seven children. She enjoyed working the hot lunch at Holy Ghost School and her work at the Dickeyville Grotto. She was a faithful member of Holy Ghost Parish and sang in the choir with her husband. Some of her favorite hobbies were playing cards with friends at Valentine's, bowling at sunset, boating on the Mississippi, and cheering on the Badgers. She was also proud of her lifetime YMCA membership. Above all, she enjoyed spending time with her children and grandchildren. She survived by her seven children and other relatives. She was seen in death by her two husbands, parents, a grandson, William Duncan III, and other relatives. The family would like to thank the staff at Eagle Point Place for their care. Online condolences may be left at www.kcmcnet.com. Karen M. Quint. Dateline Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Karen M. Quint. Karen Marie Quint, 67, of Cedar Rapids, formerly of Ryan, Iowa, passed away at her home Saturday, May 11th. Visitation will be at St. Patrick Catholic Church, Ryan, on Wednesday, May 15th, beginning with a rosary at 4 p.m. and concluding with a vigil service at 7 p.m. A funeral mass will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday at May 16th at St. Patrick Catholic Church with additional visitation 1 hour before the mass. A live stream of the funeral service may be accessed on the funeral home website tribute page for Karen under photos and videos or media starting at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, May 16th. Burial will be at the Calvary Cemetery, Ryan. Bowen Camp Murdoch Funeral Home Cremation Service of Manchester is in charge of arrangements. Karen was born June 10, 1956 in Manchester, the daughter of Vernon and Catherine Mulvihill Quint. She graduated from West Delaware High School in 1974. She worked at Rockwell Collins for over 40 years. She enjoyed visiting with family and friends, softball and football games, cooking and playing cards. Survivors include her brothers Donald, Lisa Quint of Dubuque, Richard Jane Quint of Ryan, and Father Dennis Quint of Dubuque. She was preceded in death by her parents Vernon and Catherine Quint. You may share a memory of Karen at online at www.murdochfuneralhome.com under obituaries. Sandy Grover, Dateline Phoenix, Arizona. Sandy Grover, 78, of Phoenix and formerly of Dubuque, died Wednesday, April 24th. The vigil service will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 21 at Hanson Mortuary Chapel in Phoenix. Services will be at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 22nd at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Phoenix. Edward West, Dateline Asbury, Iowa. Edward West, 81, of Asbury, died Sunday, May 12. Visitation will be from 9 to 10:45 a.m. Friday at Word of Life Church, where services will follow. Burial will be held at a later date. Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home at Cremation Service Dubuque is assisting the family. Tyler G. Wolf, Dateline Crestview, Florida. Tyler G. Wolf, 29, of Crestview and formerly of Dyersville, died Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Visitation will be from 2 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 15th at the Creamer Funeral Home in Dyersville. Services will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, May 16th at St. Francis Xavier Basilica in Dyersville. Burial will be in the church cemetery. Scott D. Schroeder. Daylight Greeley, Iowa. Scott D. Schroeder, 62, of Greeley, died Sunday, May 12. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, May 17th at the Leonard Miller Funeral Home in Edgewood. Services will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, May 18th at St. John Congregational Church in Garber. Interment will take place at Mount Harmony Cemetery in Garber. Joan R. Lang, Dateline, Orland Park, Illinois. Joan R. Lang of Orland Park and formerly of Savannah died Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. today at Law Jones Funeral Home in Savannah, where services will follow. Burial will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday at Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery in Elwood. Here is information on area funeral services. Marlene Y. Abel, Marquette, Iowa. Rosary service, 8:30 a.m. Saturday, May 18th, St. Mary's Catholic Church, McGregor. Visitation, 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday at the church. Service, 10 a.m. Saturday at the church. Sarah C. Coyle, Cascade, Iowa. Visitation, 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, May 14th. Rife Funeral Home, Cascade. Service, 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 15th, St. Martin's Catholic Church, Cascade. Jean A. Harris, Galena, Illinois. Visitation 10 a.m. to noon Wednesday, May 15th, Furlong Funeral Chapel, Galena. Service noon Wednesday at the chapel. James M. Caparos, Lincoln, Nebraska. Service 2 p.m. Friday, May 31, Mueller Funeral Chapel, Linwood Cemetery, Dubuque. Joseph Cruiser, Cheryl, Iowa. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, May 16th, Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street. Service 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Charles J. Mason, Marquette, Iowa. Rosary service 3:30 p.m. Tuesday, May 14th, St. Mary Catholic Church, McGregor. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday and from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 15th at the church. Massive Christian burial 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Thomas W. Nethery, Sussex, Wisconsin. Rosary service 3:30 p.m. Thursday, May 16th, Holy Rosary Catholic Church, Darlington. Visitation 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday and from 10 to 10:45 a.m. Friday, May 17th at the church. Mass for Christian burial, 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Gary C. Pancritz, Dubuque. Service 2 p.m. Wednesday, May 15th, St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church. Celebration of Life, 4 p.m. Wednesday, Happy's Place, 2323 Rockdale Road. Richard F. Pafoel, Dubuque. Visitation 3 to 7 p.m. today, Hoffman Snyder and Kitchen Funeral Home Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. Service 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, May 14th at the funeral home. Harold J. Pitson, Potosi, Wisconsin. Visitation 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday, May 16th and from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, May 17th, St. Andrew Catholic Church, Tennyson. Massive Christian burial, 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Richard P. Pulfer, Piasta, Iowa. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. today and 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 14th at Rife Funeral Home, Piasta. Service 11 a.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Elizabeth A. Short, Cassville, Wisconsin. Service 1 p.m. Sunday, May 19th, Rolling Hills Church, Platteville. Marilyn J. Seeger, Dubuque. Visitation 3 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, May 15th, Eaglehoff, Seegert and Casper Funeral Home Crematory, 2659 John F. Kennedy Road, service 11 a.m., Resurrection Church, Catholic Church. Suzanne Stopper, Dubuque. Visitation 9 to 9:30 a.m., Wednesday, May 15th, Mary Frances Clark Chapel, Mount Carmel Bluffs. Services 9:30 a.m., Wednesday at the chapel. Tony R. Timmerman, Keeler, Wisconsin. Wake service 3:45 p.m., Tuesday, May 14th, Casey McNutt Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Cuba City. Visitation 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Donald J. Udelhoffen, Potosi, Wisconsin. Visitation 9 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 14th, St. Andrew Catholic Church, Tennyson. Massive Christian burial, 11 a.m. Tuesday at the church. Paul J. Vossen, Dubuque. Visitation 3 to 7 p.m. today. Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Massive Christian burial, 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, May 14th, Holy Family Catholic Church, Piasta. James R. Zweibomer, Cheryl, Iowa. Wake service 3:45 p.m. Thursday, May 16th, Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church, Cheryl. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, and from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Friday, May 17th, at the church. Mass for Christian burial, 10:30 a.m. Friday at the church. Here is an obituary for Paul J. Vossen. Paul J. Vossen, 89, of Dubuque, died Thursday, May 9th. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Monday, May 13th, at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, Rockdale Road. Mass of Christian burial will be held at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, May 14th, at New Mellory Holy Family Catholic Church. Thomas W. Nethery. Dateline Sussex, Wisconsin. Thomas W. Tom Nethery, age 78, of Sussex, Wisconsin, formerly of Darlington, passed away Thursday, May 9th, at Community Memorial Hospital in Menominee Falls. Tom was born May 17, 1945, in Schulzburg, the son of Timothy and Shirley McFarlane Nethery. He attended rural country school until 8th grade and attended high school in Darlington, where he graduated the class of 1963. He married his high school sweetheart, Bonnie Schilling, on September 28, 1963, at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Calamina, Wisconsin. Together, they raised their family in Darlington. He worked briefly for Glendenning Ready Mix and then for Lafayette County Highway Department. He went on to work for 30 years as a lineman for Grant Lafayette Electric. After he and Bonnie retired, they enjoyed spending winters at their home in Mesa, Arizona. In 2016, Tom and Bonnie moved to Sussex, where they have resided since, to be closer to the family. He is survived by his beloved wife of 60 years, Bonnie, his children, Tim Becky Nethery of Menominee Falls, Todd Lisa Nethery of Dunlop, Illinois, Brian Jennifer Nethery of Sussex, Wisconsin, grandchildren, and other relatives. He was a member of Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Darlington and the Knights of Columbus. He was also a proud member of the Darlington Fire Department for nearly 15 years. When he wasn't working as a lineman, he loved to spend time working on the farm. He was also a collector of antique tractors and toy tractors throughout the years. Mass of Christian burial will be held at Friday, May 17, 2024, at 11 a.m. at Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Darlington with the Father Chris Gernetsky officiating. Burial will be at the Holy Rosary Cemetery at a later date. A visitation will be held Thursday, May 16th, from 4 to 8 p.m., with a rosary being prayed at 3:30 p.m. at Holy Rosary Catholic Church. Visitation will be held prior to Mass at from 10 a.m. until 10:45 a.m. Friday. The Erickson Funeral Home in Darlington is serving the family. Online condolences may be expressed to the family at www.ericksonfuneralhome.com. Here's a look at local law enforcement reports. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Department reported the following. Jason L. Oberbrockling, 43, of Guttenberg, Iowa, was arrested at 10:42 p.m. Sunday in the area of Lincoln Avenue and Canese Street on warrants charging voluntary absence from custody and a probation violation. Court documents state Oberbrockling did not return to the state correctional facility at 1494 Elm Street on March 30th. Miranda N. Thomas, 41, of 1505 Montrose Terrace, was arrested at 10:42 p.m. Saturday at a residence on charge of domestic assault with injury, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. John J. Myers, 51, of 1267 Jackson Street, number 1, was arrested at 8:55 a.m. Saturday in the 9800 block of Southwest Arterial on a charge of second-degree theft. Camp Courageous to host annual car show. Deadline Monticello, Iowa. Camp Courageous will host its annual fundraising car show later this month. The 37th annual Cruisin' for Camp Courageous will be held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday, May 19th at the camp at 12007 190th Street in rural Monticello, a press release states. The show is presented by Cedar Valley Street Rods and is expected to feature hundreds of cars, trucks, and motorcycles and vintage vehicles. The event also includes silent and live auctions, a craft show, music and food stands, along with activities such as laser tag and face painting. Attendees can take a ride on Camp Courageous train, and zip line rides will also be available for $10. Miniature golf also be available for $10 per person hour. Pre-registration to show cars, the event is $15 until May 15th and $20 after that date or on the day of the event. Admission is $5 for adults with children, 12 and under, free when accompanied by an adult. Free parking is available. All proceeds benefit Camp Courageous, a year-round recreational facility for individuals with disabilities, serving nearly 10,000 people each year. For more information, call 319-465-5000. 5916, extension 2130, or visit capcourageous.org. Pickleball court fundraising meeting to be held in Cascade, Dateline Cascade, Iowa. A meeting to discuss fundraising for new pickleball courts is scheduled for this month in Cascade. The meeting will go over a fundraising campaign to build 4 to 6 new pickleball courts in the new park located on the Mulberry Drive next to Oak Hill Subdivision. The meeting will be at 6:30 p.m. on May 20th, Cascade City Hall, 3201 First Avenue West. The meeting welcomes pickleball players and anyone interested in learning more about the sport and development plans for the new park, according to an online announcement. Frontier Wedding Ceremony reenactment planned in Elizabeth. Dateline, Elizabeth, Illinois. A historical site in Joe Davis County will host a free reenactment of a frontier wedding. Tab and Toll will be held from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, June 8th, at Apple River Fort State Historic Site, according to an online event announcement. Attendees can experience a full frontier wedding ceremony as part of a reenactment of the wedding of Thomas Jefferson Clark and Jane Josephine Murdoch, a real couple who fell in love and married in the original fort. The event will also include dancing, games, and romantic revelry, according to the announcement. Apple River Fort State Historic Site is located at 311 East Myrtle Street in Elizabeth. For more information, go online at appleriverfort.org. Dubuque County man sentenced to probation for school burglary. Dateline Farley, Iowa. Dubuque County man has been sentenced to 4 years probation for a burglary at a Farley school. Marcus J. Walker, 19, of Farley, recently received the deferred judgment in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County from Iowa District Court Judge Thomas Bitter after pleading guilty to charges of third-degree burglary and fourth-degree criminal mischief. With the deferred judgment, the record of the case will expunge if all probation obligations are met. Court documents state Walker was one of two people who broke into the Drexler Middle School in Farley on June 30th. Surveillance footage shows two people entering several classrooms and taking food and candy, documents state. Derek K. Bailey, 19, of Hopkinton, also charged with third-degree burglary and fourth-degree criminal mischief in the case, and in January was sentenced to probation. Authorities say multiple tactical strategies were needed to arrest a Joe Davis County man. Dateline Hanover, Illinois. Authorities said multiple tactical strategies were needed to bring a Scales Mound man with two outstanding warrants into custody. Jesse R. J. Jones, 28, was arrested Saturday on warrants from both Joe Davis County and Grant County, Wisconsin. According to a press release from the Joe Davis County Sheriff's Department, the release states authorities learned Jones was located at a property on West Blackjack Road in Merle, Hanover. Deputies surrounded a building on the property and attempted to get Jones to leave, but he refused, the report stated. Northwest Illinois Critical Incident Response Team was called to assist. Multiple times, authorities used canine units and chemical munitions to try and force Jones out of the building, but to no avail, the release states. The CIRT entered the building and located Jones inside of a locked vehicle. The team made entry in the locked vehicle, and Jones was able to be taken into custody. The incident remains under investigation, the report states. Here's a letter to the editor from Paul Hammer of Simpson Street on Dubuque. The headline is, Cheers to Reynolds and Iowa Legislature on a job well done. Congratulations to Governor Reynolds, the Iowa Legislature, and our area Republican representatives Lundgren and Bradley and Senator Kerry Kulker for an outstanding job. They successfully took the, quote, woke out of education and strengthened instruction in civics. Salaries for new and experienced teachers were raised, putting Iowa in the top 5 states. This will help attract, recruit, and retain great educators. State aid for public schools was increased by $107 million to reach almost $3.7 billion next year. And Governor Reynolds did not take money away from area education agencies. The new law requires 90% of funding for special education come from the AEAs. The other 10% is discretionary funds to districts, including additional AEA services if they request it. Again, that letter was from Paul Hammer in Simpson Street in Dubuque. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you for listening.